I see we have a number of guests with us today. So for those of you who may not have attended a commission meeting previously, let me say our first order of business is to ask you all to make sure that your cell phones are either off or on vibrate, please. And I will actually check mine also, because it would be most embarrassing if mine was the one that went off. And if you, I will be calling the applications by number and by title. And if you care to make a comment, you need to come down to the podium and identify yourself and your address for the record. And then you may address the commission. And we ask you to pause for a moment before you leave in case any of the commissioners have questions for you. We will be asking for people to speak in favor of the application and those who are not in favor of the application. I will also ask that you address the commission and not the audience. All right. Having said that, our first order of regular business is approval of the February 10th work session and regular meeting minutes. Are there any changes, corrections, or additions? Not hearing any, may I ask for a motion to accept them as presented?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right. Our first application under new business is application number 15-91005. It's a concept plan revision, and the applicants are Woodside Golf LLC. Is there someone to speak on behalf of this application? Yes, sir.
Hello. My name is Kent Baldwin. Mm-hmm. I work with Woodside Development and Woodside Golf. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of the development company, and I reside at 621 Carlton Avenue here in Aiken. Mm-hmm. And I've been with the development company since 2001.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for your time and for considering our application tonight. I'll be brief, but first I want to thank you for on behalf of the Reserve Club members, which we have quite a few here in attendance. We appreciate your support, and we thank you on behalf of them, the development company, and the Woodside Plantation Property Owners Association, which we are a member of. Just a quick historical summary. Woodside began in 1986 with Phase 1, where the original Woodside Plantation Country Club was developed along with the Jones Course and roughly the first 800 or so homes. In 1989, a subsequent annexation was done, and roughly another, the cup course was brought in, and it brought the balance of lots up to roughly 2,000 home sites within Woodside. In 2001 was the beginning of the reserve annexation. That was phase three. We brought in, at that point in time, 529 acres, and it was approximately 600 homes. That annexation was critical. It brought in the village at Woodside, as well as the reserve course, the first course, which is the Nicholas Design Course, as well as the current reserve clubhouse. In 2006, as part of our phase four annexation, we brought in another 661 acres, the fourth golf course, which is the Hollow Creek Preserve Course, and approximately 1,000 additional homes on that remaining land. That took the property out to its current boundary limits, which is roughly the Anderson Pond Road to the south and east side of the property. When we first developed the Reserve Clubhouse, the way it stands today, it's a little over 9,000 square feet. And it was designed and developed all along to expand as our membership grew and as the community grew. One of the important, I think, aspects of the club is all property sold within the reserve you're required to be a member of the Reserve Club. So we always knew, as the development grew and as the club grew, our needs at the clubhouse would be expanded, and we're actually at that point right now. The current expansion calls for an additional roughly 13,000 feet of heated and a little over 4,100 square feet of covered veranda, resulting in about a 22,000-foot facility. We need this because it'll better serve our membership. It'll give us a facility that adds some more dining venues, entertaining venues, and enlarge the kitchen. And it'll just give us some other areas in and around the clubhouse for the many social and gathering activities that, you know, a vibrant and healthy club need to have today. The expansion will add jobs as the facility grows and our staff requirements are increased. It'll increase the tax base for the city of Aiken. It'll be a first-class amenity that will be enlarged, enhance the property values, and attract more residents. It's necessary. It's important to the club. The membership is anxious to get it going. We are as well. We appreciate your consideration with this application. One of the conditions that was suggested seems a little unnecessary and redundant. We're not revising the concept plans as they exist. The 2001 and 2006 concept plans are staying as they are in terms of the total area of the property. The number and density of the dwelling units isn't changing. The intent and character of the development is remaining the same. The land use patterns are remaining the same. We're just expanding the area where the clubhouse exists today and the infrastructure that we need to support the larger clubhouse. So we thank you for your time. Look forward to your positive reception of our exciting new club and plans, and welcome any comments or questions that you have.
Well, we appreciate your optimism. So now this is to the commissioners. What questions do you have for Mr. Baldwin?
Mr. Baldwin, in this proposal you have that the parking lot would now contain 99 additional spaces on the west side of the building and that kind of thing. Do you think that 99 spaces, when you have a large event going on there, and you also have summertime, I'm just saying you have a large wedding reception, you have golfers out golfing, swimming pool in use, and that kind of thing, is that additional 99 spaces, in your opinion, I know that's been recommended evidently by somebody and it's consistent with the number that the city would recommend, do you think that's sufficient parking spaces to keep people that were there in an overflow capacity from parking in the roadway that might hinder emergency vehicles responding to the clubhouse or to the subdivision behind the future development of that area because the roadway is so limited in that area as it is?
Well, the 99 spaces will be in addition to the existing parking facility. It's designed to satisfy what we feel are the needs of the club. Now, it's hard to say that in a full capacity event that we wouldn't have some overflow areas, but we do not anticipate that they would ever impair the ability for public safety or emergency vehicles. The only roadway network, there will be a future development. Maybe if you can go back one to that one there. That site plan at the top of the sheet is the area of the new parking area. So when you come and enter the club facility, you would turn right, and that area, just below where the cursor is, would be the additional parking that's needed. The 42-foot right-of-way that would be the road that runs through the back edge of the parking area would go, and there will be a future development area of some potential villas that would be beyond where the cart barn is. But our desire and hope is that we would not have a parking problem. We've designed it, we think, with sufficient parking, and we have a lot of land area in and around that would not for some of the issues that exist at the other clubhouse when there is a large event. So we feel we've got adequate parking. The current parking lot itself, in addition to the additional parking, we feel would be adequate, and pose a problem to public safety.
Just the reason I ask you that is you have a beautiful facility, and there's no doubt the addition would be just as luxury and as beautiful as that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've been to several events out there that did have a situation with parking. It was a problem, and people were forced to park on the street and the curbs in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just see that potential as the facility grew.
Mm-hmm.
If we're overflowing today, would there be a way to maybe address that or have a kind of think-out-of-the-box plan to go with that in the event that you had a big, and you're not going to have them every day,
mm-hmm.
but when you did have those 10 or 15 or 20 times a year and you had those big events, is there going to be a plan? Is there a grassed area that you have overflow?
Well, there is. If you continue to the east on that plan, that area is undeveloped. You see some hash lines. That's an actual Santee Cooper transmission line that right now is undeveloped, and eventually that road will hook around and tie into the area behind where the car barn is. But we do have quite a bit of land area back there, so if we needed to create an overflow area for additional parking, we've got the land capacity to do that.
That's the only question I had.
Thank you. And Mr. Baldwin, that will also accommodate the additional employee parking. You referenced having additional parking, so that area is not a problem?
I don't believe so.
Okay. All right, any other questions for Mr. Baldwin?
I would just kind of reiterate, I wouldn't stand in the way of this project, mm-hmm. but you're going to have parking issues.
Mm-hmm.
When I play golf out there, and when you play golf out there at a normal tournament, there's no parking. There's not enough parking for the golfers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're literally, it's an overflow situation. So people are going to park where they're going to park.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about having a wedding with 200 or 300 additional cars, and I think that you could easily have 200 or 300 additional cars, it might be okay if you don't have anything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be parking issues. I think y'all have considered that. I hope you have. It's going to be overflow parking. Now, I don't know where they're going to park. I hope they don't park where you block. Our only concern is that you get some overflow parking out there and they start blocking the road. You have houses back in there. You have a big old fire truck has to come rolling in there. And is it going to be able to get down that road and get back in there if there was an occasion for it to have to do so? Is it going to be able to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I think you have thought about it. I hope you've thought about it. I think the project is a good one. I wouldn't oppose it on those grounds, but I'll just tell you, it's going to happen.
Point well taken.
Okay. Excellent points. Any other questions for Mr. Baldwin? Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this project? So, Mr. Baldwin, this was just your personal audience then, right? All right. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to the application? Okay, well, that makes it very simple. It is now back to the commission. I'll entertain a motion on this application.
Madam Chairman, I would recommend that we approve it with the conditions listed down here on the memorandum from the Planning Commission. And with regard to the application, let me just, application number 15-91005, concept plan revision with tax parcel number as listed, I would recommend we approve the proposal revision of the concept plan with the conditions listed on the sheet, those being numbers 1, 2, and 3. Part of my motion.
Second.
We still have a second. All right. All in favor? All right. So you have an approval for this, and as you all know, we are a recommending body, so we will be recommending approval of this to City Council, and this will come before City Council on March 23rd. So you may, Mr. Baldwin, you may want your entourage there again. And so we thank you for participating. Our next item is the Edgefield Highway Corridor Planning Study. The Planning Commission has presented this, and we've had numerous discussions on it. We are now at the point of determining whether this should be recommended to the City Council. Is there anyone that would like to speak on behalf of this? Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Dave Shalkus. I am the Vice Chairman of the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee that is chartered under SC HARTS to advise them and government organizations in the area on pedestrian and cycling issues for the benefit of the public. I reside at Aberdeen Drive in Aiken. I wish to speak very briefly on the importance of pedestrian and cycling facilities within the city's purview of the Edgefield Highway Plan. It is my understanding at this point that sidewalks and cycling provisions are not part of the urban part of the design that's being recommended. And I want to strongly emphasize that whenever we did the focus groups under the development of the plan, in all of the cases, and particularly south of Interstate 20 and in the urban area, which is, you know, part of the purview of the city, citizens' input was a strong input to include sidewalks and cycling facilities associated with that. People did not feel safe on the highway itself without those facilities, and those needed to be included. So I think it's particularly important on the portion from Hampton Avenue to University. We're in the process of developing and have developed a pedestrian and bicycle plan that's been adopted by the City Council. We're working through the various organizations to implement that plan, and part of that plan includes both the pedestrian facilities as well as cycling facilities associated with it. So I wanted to point out to the Commission that they ought to look very carefully at that portion that's under the purview of the city and consider whether, you know, sidewalks and cycling facilities really need to be put in place. That's all I have.
All right. Any questions?
Mr. Shelfus, did you get a copy of the document that we had available to us? This one right here?
I've seen the draft one in August 2014, the document of citizens' input. I have not necessarily seen that one
this
in September.
This one is dated and make note, Madam Chairman,
it's September
2014. And in that, the short term on page 5 on the rural neighborhood character area, the short term, the first bullet on there was complete sidewalk connectivity from the neighborhoods to Edgefield Highway. And I hate to say assume, but I assume, Madam Chairman, that was Highway 19 or Lawrence Street.
Yes.
From the neighborhoods, meaning from the area of Lawrence and Hampton Avenue all the way to Highway 118 bypass, where I know we do have sidewalks already in place north of that.
Yes.
So that is the first recommended under the short term, and I didn't know if you'd seen that or not. So
actually, I believe that this was not included in the draft, which may be the version that you saw.
Okay.
But it is in this final version.
So the recommendation that you would make, if you approve this and recommend it, would include the sidewalks.
Yes.
And does it say cycling facilities also, or just sidewalks?
It just says sidewalks.
That's correct.
It does say shared lane.
Well, it does say markings. Shared lane, which I'm sure that's
one of the cycling facilities, yes. The shared lane markings, yes. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of this application? Or this, whatever. Yes, sir.
I'm Reverend Tom Kerr. I live 3038 Edgefield Highway, up there in the Eureka area.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed on this, it's Shiloh Road, long term, and I've been telling the steering committee for quite a while that they need to do something with that intersection, because there have been several deaths there and lots of injuries. In fact, I was involved in the accident there because of a vehicle running stop sign, and they said it's lucky I survived it. So that, and also Good Springs Road, that's the two of the dangerous ones right in that area. So I'd recommend that they try to move Shiloh Church Road up closer than have it down there in the long term.
And I think Mr. Paradise, correct me, but some of that has to do because it's not in our purview. That comes from DOT.
It's a matter of funding.
It's a matter of funding and going through DOT, which is not under our purview, sadly.
Okay.
And I would say that SCDOT has been notified of the plan. They're aware of the plan. And they're taking steps to see what they can implement as far as the plan goes on the short term. That's not going to cost a lot. That's not going to require additional budgeting.
Okay.
But with realigning the intersection, improving the intersections, that's a big budget expense.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in favor of this item? Is there anyone who'd like to speak in opposition? Y'all are a very nice bunch of people.
We're going for dinner tonight.
I know, we might get dinner tonight. Okay, so now it'll be back to the commission, and may I have a motion regarding this agenda item?
Madam Chairman, in reference to our item 3B, which is the Edgefield Highway, South Carolina 19 North Corridor Planning Study, I would recommend that the plan that's been provided us be recommended to City Council for forwarding on, I guess that goes from Council on to DOT for recommendation, correct? I want to word my motion correctly. I'm trying to...
Accept it as information.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
accept it as information.
Information.
Yes.
And then they'll decide what to do with it.
That's correct. So I would recommend that to Council.
All right. Second. Thank you. We have a second. All in favor? All right. Okay, this also will go to the Council on March 23rd agenda. For the gentleman who spoke on behalf of us, you may want to be present and share your concerns with them as well. They'll be duly noted, but you may want to be there. All right. And there being no further business before the Commission, this meeting will stand adjourned. Thank you all for attending.
Thank you, ma'am.
It's not an easy weather.
It was.
Let's talk again.
What's up?
Good, how are you?
Good. Good, myself. Is that anybody? Keep talking to me. Thank you, man.